listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, July 8th. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. As always, you know, I'm glad to be here. July 8th already. Oh, my, middle of the year.
I can hardly believe it myself. Man, I'm so happy to have you. I'm so happy to have those that join us live, and always we are happy to those that take the time to listen to us from the archives as well. Spirit of Life is, of course, a weekly educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit and to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast tonight, ICMH offers other educational programs you can find at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we are going to begin with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. Tonight, we are very happy to welcome a special guest. We have Dr. Norman Wilson, longtime friend of the broadcast, coming on to talk about the core star. So welcome, Dr. Norman.
Thank you very much, Michael, and Vicki, it's nice to see you again. You're looking more beautiful as ever.
Oh, thank you very much.
He was obviously talking to me, Dr. Vicki. Come on.
Yeah, I know. Actually, I probably was talking to both of you.
Okay.
Okay, my topic for tonight is an interesting one. It's fascinated me for a long time. It's called the core star, and actually it's a search for an authentic self. And we certainly have a lot of that searching going on today in today's world. I would like to begin by saying you two and everyone else as an embodied universe. That's quite a mouthful there. Actually, your existence expresses the fullness of that universe, the mere fact that you are. Well, maybe not quite. There are a lot of complications involved in today's, may prevent you from recognizing the fact that you have a universal autobiography. Oh, the current world situation with the wars, economic problems, environmental issues, the general moral decline, and a lack of respect, they all add up to issues that may make you have difficulty in recognizing your life story simply because you don't have the time or the energy to listen to yourself. Now, across ancient traditions, we find the recurring idea that wisdom is not only something gathered from the outside world, but something discovered within. Buddhism points us toward the awakened nature within. Christianity speaks of the indwelling spirit of the kingdom within. Hinduism teaches the reality of Atman, the deeper self. Ancient Egypt offers us another powerful example of the Ibi, meaning the heart. Not merely the physical organ, but the inner seat of memory, moral truth, character, and wisdom. It is true these traditions do not say the same thing in the same language, but they all suggest that there is a deeper center within us, a place from which authentic knowing may arise. At one level, you're whole and complete, and yet at another level, you're an evolving consciousness that takes you to unexplored, unknown, and multi-layered and ever-expanding and deeping rivers of ultimate understanding of multiple and parallel universes. It is in these you will discover the answers to your most personal and significant questions, such as, what is the meaning of your life? Believe it or not, I do recognize and understand that you're still actively involved in seeking what it is you are to do with your life in this dimension, in this realm, in this world. But this search for an authentic self is not really a search for something missing. It's a search for something forgotten. Your challenge is to become quiet enough to hear its voice. There is a place for you to ask your questions and get your answers. It's called the core star. It's where your most creative processes originate. It is the dimensions of your oneness with the divine and your source of inspiration. The core star dimension also represents your personal unique qualities of the divine that created you. And since it is divine, that part of you, that part of divinity, resides in you forever. Once you recognize and accept those qualities associated with your own divine nature, you will know your path. Excuse me. You'll know your mountains you're to climb, the rivers you're to cross, and the oceans you're to sail, and the worlds you are to explore. Okay, so where is this core star? How do you connect? Well, for me, I do not see it as a physical object or as a place that can be located in your body. Rather, I understand it that the core star is an inner state of awareness, a quiet point of connection where insight, intuition, and direct knowing can become visible, available. I'm talking about a place that exists within each of you where individual consciousness touches universal consciousness. A place that always lights the way. Most of you have had moments when you somehow knew something before you could explain it. Perhaps you knew it was time to change jobs or call someone you have not spoken to for a long time, or you've made a life change that didn't make sense to anyone else. Sometimes that knowing comes as a thought. Sometimes it comes as a feeling in your body, a dream, an image, or a quiet but persistent interior inner voice. I accept the fact that there are traditions that relate such an experience as to the soul, the higher self, what is called the divine spark or the aha moment. It is the deepest level of the self. Now, the core spirit doesn't shout at you, doesn't scream at you. It does not humiliate you. It does not frighten you. And it doesn't demand that you prove yourself. Now, it often comes as a calm inner recognition. There is one way you can distinguish the voice of the core star from the voice of fear. Now, fear says you will fail. You're too late. You're not enough. On the other hand, the core star may say and acknowledge the fact that your path may be difficult, but it also says you are more than you think you are. You are enough. Begin where you are and do it. I now invite you to join me for a short exercise to quiet yourself down so you may experience the potential of core star. I didn't say that right, did I? Core star. I'd like you to place your feet flat on the floor Let your hands rest easily on your lap. Take one slow breath in and exhale without force. Now bring your attention to the space between and slightly above your eyebrows. This is the area many traditions refer to as the third eye. Don't strain, just simply notice the area. Take another slow, easy breath. And as you exhale, silently ask yourself, what is waiting for me to be remembered? Don't force an answer. You may receive a word, an image, a memory, a feeling, or simply a sense of quietness. Now ask yourself, what is waiting for me within to be remembered? There is no need to judge whatever comes. You don't have to solve your entire life today. You're just listening, quietly listening. Now place your hand over your heart and silently say to yourself, I am willing to remember who I am. Take one more breath and slowly exhale. And when you're ready, return to your awareness, to where you are. Okay. Are there signs that you are living from the corn star? Yes, I think there are signs. Believe it. You may experience greater peace, clarity and clearer intuition, less reactivity. You may feel more centered. Additionally, you may experience more compassion, an increased sense of purpose, or be able to remain centered during turmoil. Whatever they are, they will never be negative. Now, is it possible to lose contact with the core star? Absolutely. And it's not just because of the current world situation. You or your own family's social expectations can distract. This would include living according to other people's definitions of success. Certainly, cultural conditioning, which includes religious beliefs, could create conflict and a diminishing of the use of the core star. Probably the most common cause for losing contact is the fear of failure. Actually, the search for the core star is not a search for something missing. It's a search for something forgotten. It's not something you create. It is something you can rediscover. It's been with you since your first breath and will remain with you to your last. Your challenge, it seems to me, is becoming quiet enough to hear that inner voice. What would happen if for just a few minutes each day you listened less to the noise of the world and more to the wisdom of your core star? What mountain might you climb? What new song would you sing? What wonderful new world might you discover within yourself? A little bit personal here just for a moment. After more than 9 decades of living, studying, healing, succeeding and failing, and learning, I have discovered that the most important journey is not outward, but inward. The answers we seek, you seek, I seek, are often found not in the noise of the world, but in the quiet light of our own core star. Now, for those of you who would like additional core star practices to get you into that mood and into that realm of thinking, you may email me, and I will gladly send them to you free of charge. The email address is nwwphd@gmail.com. I would ask one thing, that you place in the subject core star, so that I know it is what you want to begin with. There is no charge, as I said. I want to thank you for listening. And again, been a pleasure. And it's been a while. And you know what? You sound wonderful. All together. Thank you. Namaste.
Well, that's wonderful, Dr. Norman. Yeah, I have a question, if I may. For a lot of people in my lifetime have said that they don't know how to meditate or they have a hard time. What do you recommend to quieten the mind to reach that place, such as core star?
No.
Any suggestions? Did we lose him, Michael?
I think we might have lost Dr. Norm.
That's too bad, because I think that, you know, that was
Dr.
a great
experience. Can you hear us? Oh, it looks like connection issues coming back up. I see him kind of flickering on Teams there.
Okay.
Well, I appreciate that we were able to get the presentation. Unfortunately, we lost Dr. Norman for the Q&A. But as they say, there are gremlins in the machine. Dr. Vicky, you and I were just talking about this last week, weren't we?
We were. I got a little story for you, Michael. I have a couple of plastic clips. They're about a 1 to 1.5 inch wide. You know, like a paper clip, and they're plastic.
Uh-huh.
And I've had two of them on my fridge for, like, I don't know, a year and a half or so. And I'm sitting at my kitchen table, cat sleeping on the couch. And suddenly I hear this popping, something crashing. And I went, what was that? And one of those clips literally flew off the fridge, broke in two. The spring was jammed. And I'm picking up little shards of plastic. And I say, do you have to be so violent about it, you guys? And meanwhile, bring me back my slippers, because I can't find my new slippers. You know, strange things happen, everybody. Don't ask me why that paperclip just, you know, because on a magnet, it's just ridiculous. But, you know, things happen, people. You know, they do happen. But I want to thank Dr. Norman for coming on and giving that presentation. You know, it's by many names, it's really getting in touch with who we are. I think that's what it's all about. And like he said, over 9 decades, you know, it's so awesome. You know, this has been his life's work, and it's not the outer world that's important, it's the inner world.
Mm.
And, you know, I've often told people, no one and nothing should be more interesting than you are to yourself.
This is true.
And that's not a narcissistic or egotistical thing. It's the interest in who you are.
Well, you have to live with yourself.
Yeah. And if you're interested, then you better understand yourself. You know,
absolutely.
Find the things that you like about yourself, things you want to change. You know, what is your inner core nature? But what Dr. Norm, he's taking this a step further, is what do we need to remember? Because I think that's what our spirit is always saying. What do we need to remember about ourselves?
Right.
So it's not the search, you know, outward. It's the search inward. Because if we agree that we're spiritual beings, then, you know, we got the info somewhere. Just have to remember it.
Oh, yeah. Ah, that's a tough thing. And I like what you said there. You know, you're absolutely right. You have to find yourself, not find yourself, you have to engage with yourself as a person. I will say, though, I was just having this conversation earlier today where we were talking about knowing yourself. And, you know, I'd said, I think in a certain way, you can't know yourself until you are in the world and you can compare and contrast to, you know, what you see around you as well in a lot of ways, because you're not tested. You don't know what, you know, you're going to come up against. So I think it's a little bit of both, but you cannot ignore the inner world is critical, you know, but then again, I think both are. So that's just my little twist on that.
I agree. You know, people can say, oh, you know, I know what I would do in that experience, but they've never had that experience.
Well, exactly. You know, if somebody put a gun to my head and said to do something immoral, I would hope that I would do the honorable thing and, you know, accept my fate and just not contribute towards anything evil. I've never had a gun to my head, though, so we're not gonna, hopefully we'll never find out. Knock on wood. Oh, my God, there's nothing wood around here. It's all metal. Ah, the modern age.
Well, I have had a gun to my head, so and it's a quick story. I was about 18 or 19 and living in an apartment, and one of the guys in the building wanted me to look after his six-year-old. Well, he disappeared for 3 days. So I got no choice. I called social services. They came and got the boy. And a guy showed up at my house for his kid, my apartment. And I said, no, he went with his grandparents. Social services took him. You didn't show up. Well, he was back 10 minutes later with a gun to my head. And I don't know if I was obstinate enough. I don't know what it was, you know, about my state of mind. I said, if you're going to do it, you would have pulled the trigger by now. So
yeah,
go call social services.
He felt weak and he felt, you know, like he was showing up and, you know, made to look as pathetic as he was, and he was trying to intimidate you.
Yeah.
And good on you for not giving it to him, because, you know, F that, dissenter, beep. But, well, good on you.
Well, it's one of those things, you know, that I did what I knew to be the right thing for this boy, and then the dad, well.
Yeah.
Oh, well, at that point in my life, bigger things had tried to scare me, Michael. So, but it is about doing the right thing. And it is about being true to who you are. And I think all of us at some point, and I believe this about everybody, we have sold out in a way. We sell out by compromises that aren't quite comfortable, or, you know, the need of the day is something. So, and then we realize, oh, that was just a need of the day, and that's not really what I want. You know, I think we've all done that. I know I certainly have. But when it comes down to the bottom line is, no, I'm not going there. You know, that's not me. That's not how I want to evolve my life. But again, everybody lives their life in their own way and doing the best they can.
Yeah.
And we can't judge somebody's progress, their process. You know, it's every soul is evolving to the best of their ability. But Dr. Norman says it's true. You know, the older we get, the more we realize it's not out there, it's in here. But we've learned a lot of out there, but that just comes with life and life experience.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree with you, Michael.
Yeah.
Until you've been there, you don't know.
Well, 100%. And, hey, just we're going to chat a little bit more, but we're getting to that time. So if you want a card, throw your name in chat. We got like a 10 to 15 second time lag between what we say and when they hear us, anywho. But no, you're 100% right on that, too. And, you know, the other thing about life, thank the universe that everybody is so different, because for us to thrive, for the human animal to thrive like it does, there needs to be a lot of different kinds of us. And that means that we can adapt to any situation, because no matter what hits us, there's going to be a personality type and a skill set to deal with it. And when we work together, when we prize and praise each other's differences and treasure them, within reason, then you know, we can really do incredible things. And when I say within reason, I'm talking about extremes here. You know, I'm talking like, obviously there are things that you will never align with, you know, obviously there are lines you will never cross. But that being said, I think that, there's a lot of different kinds of folks, and we have to, we're all stronger in it together as long as we can learn to peacefully coexist. And tolerance doesn't mean you have to love how everybody lives, but yeah, respect their right to do it.
Well, as I've said before, you know, in this garden of life, sometimes the weeds get out of control. So,
yeah, well,
you know,
that's what happened in World War II, wasn't it?
We got to pull out some of the weeds and get back to the garden.
Yeah.
So,
metaphorically, no incitements to violence of any kind. This is, we're pacifists.
No,
and, well,
no,
yeah,
no.
Quasi.
So,
we're not angry
Wendy,
people.
I know. Wendy is mentioning in the chat that, so this is the last week through the first half of 2026. Mm. Oh, every time I say that number. And we're going to have Wendy on next week. And
yeah.
Wendy and I, well, Wendy keeps way better track of the inner oracle self-discovery cards. I just kind of do a thing with the tarot. And we compare notes and see if there's any patterns. Wendy is a really good pattern looker, you know. So we're going to do that next week and hope you join us for that. So we do have some cards, some names in the chat for cards, Michael. And as I said, inner oracle self-discovery card. And I back it up with the tarot card and we see what kind of message there is.
You got it. You got it. So
Donna.
All right, Donna, for you tonight, I have number six. Number six, boundaries. It's important for you to establish clear boundaries for yourself. Equally, it is necessary to be aware of others and to not overstep or encroach on their boundaries. This is a mark of a self-complete individual. Reassess and assertively protect your healthy boundaries while looking to see if you are overstepping elsewhere. Begin with asking yourself, who owns me?
Oh, good question, eh? Who owns me? Do you own yourself? I got the world. I got the world to back that up for you, Donna. That's awesome. You know, it's, it reminds me of a conversation we had last weekend with my family and about, you know, it was brought up that some people, young people especially, are lazy. And my daughter says, no, they know their boundaries, you know. And like if you apply for a job, get the job, you get, you know, this criteria to do the job. And then they want you to go clean toilets. Well, that's not what you signed up for. So, you know, you signed up for this job. So boundaries is kind of knowing that. And when you have the world, there's opportunities and advancement, a lot of energy in your favor. Just, you know, stick close to your, what your boundaries might be, and stick to what you want and what you hope for, and you'll do really well. So I see that as an affirmation, Donna. You know, it's an affirmation for you that, the clarity of what you will and will not do or even put up with, for that matter. So there. I like it.
I like it, too. It's good stuff.
We have Kevin. Dr. Kevin's next.
All right. Dr. Kevin, always love seeing you here. And tonight, you get number 15, belief system knowledge base. We each operate life from an existing belief system. And sometimes, the solution or direction that we need lies outside of our belief system. Equally, when knowledge is expanded, a belief system calls for revision. Consider that opening the mind for more information and knowledge may be required, which subsequently adjusts a belief system. Know that the knowledge that you seek is within. I like that and how it echoes with your comments earlier, too.
Oh, I love this, too, Michael, the Seven of Pentacles, Seven of Diamonds. That's a harvest after the work. So, you know, perhaps it is along the way you've had to shift out some belief systems or, you know, kind of check in with yourself from time to time, Kevin. But you have the knowledge base. And it's like, here's the reward. Here's the harvest of it. This is how things come to fruition. And then one thing leads to another thing, and it just keeps improving. So I would say that you're getting an accreditation of some kind, acknowledgement in some way, and nobody has to know what you've gone through to get there. So, you know, that's you within your own self and tapping into your core star. So,
I like it.
There you go.
All right.
And Dr. Jeff.
The Blind Outdoorsman.
Hey, yes.
This one's kind of interesting. I don't know if you've gotten this one before or not, but, you know, I know that you got a lot of things going on. Check them out on Facebook. Always doing creative things, very interesting things. And tonight I pulled number 17, reinvention. Nothing is more powerful or transformative than self-reinvention, resulting in a personal identity foundation shift. Far-reaching and profound, such a reinvention shifts the foundation of your self-concept from external to internal, which in turn is vital to your future success and happiness. Re-examine your core values, ensuring that they are healthy. Answer the questions, what do I call a good day, and what else in my life should be reinvented? So, hope that connects. I know that you're a man of many talents, so I'm curious how that applies.
And constant reinvention.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
So, the Jack of Diamonds, Knight of Pentacles, Jeff, I love that. You know, this is somebody who's entrepreneurial, who's, you know, challenging himself and also looks for, you know, starts to set an end game, an end goal for himself. Oh, and reinvention is something Wendy said you had back in April. April 8th. So I say that things are, as you keep this constant reevaluations and moving forward, Jeff, I think it's going to start to really pay off for you. I think things are going to take off. And that, you know, Knight of Pentacles says there's rewards coming, acknowledgements and rewards. So keep going. I love that. All right.
I love it.
Wendy, our card keeper, Wendy.
Wendy, welcome, and love having you. Can't wait to have you next week. And by the way, earlier when I was trying to knock on wood and had nothing available, she said that she knocked on the wall, which is drywall, which I think is made up of some kind of pulp. I'm just going to say it. But don't worry, even if the wall didn't have any studs behind it, I knocked on my golden retriever Ollie's forehead because that is solid wood. I think it's oak. Feels like an oak. So, no, but for you tonight, I have, let's see, wild card number 6. All right, wild card number 6, went past it. Entropy. Within the cycle of life, there are useful energies, which is low entropy, that can wane to uselessness, which is high entropy. Their energy stands still and their entropy increases. They no longer give value to the evolution of life. This can include an attitude or behavior that requires adjustment to once again take a new step in renewal and rebirth, thus lowering one's entropy. When a person seeks to be part of a solution rather than part of the problem, that person lowers their personal entropy, and the world is a better place.
You know, it comes to mind that I talked to somebody the other day who's got a colleague who is constantly trying to go back and fix a problem. Now, she is solutions-driven. Is that problem can't be fixed without a domino effect. So it's looking into the future and finding a different solution. And that's what, I don't know, it really applies here, Wendy. Three of clubs, so that three of wands, looking into the future. So the solution may kind of exist outside, let's say, an application that you had thought of. So entropy is like balancing that energy. And so rather than going off to fix little problems or things that you have done that where's the glitch, is have an open mind and let the formula come to you. Oh, and you had that back in January and June. You say, wow. So it's about keeping your energies balanced and how you move forward, how you go into the future. So if you're looking for solutions, don't necessarily rely on, let's say, the software that's already written, you know, because it might need to have condensed files and kind of open-ended. We say, oh, that's an idea I hadn't thought of, and how you put things together. So that, I think that's awesome. It's really an affirmation. Oh, Dr. Jeff, I'm going to read this, Michael. He says, thank you. I think those are good cards. Quick update. On Friday, I have a podcast interview dropping, and I have another one dropping on the 23rd and the 17th. Ooh, I'll be recording another one. Never thought I'd be doing that. Also, on Monday, I started a new Facebook group to help connect low-vision people to enjoy outdoor activities. Is that awesome or what?
I love it.
That's really cool.
That's good stuff. I mean, you know, talk about reinvention right there. New skills, new activities, and you're putting yourself out into the world. You know, you're taking that stuff that's good within you, and you're giving it to the world. And that's the gift that we all give each other, right? Because we're all in this together. We give a little bit. You're forming that community, and that is going to build strength and bonds. And that is a really wonderful thing you're doing. So hats off to you.
So Wendy's asking, think outside the box. And sometimes even I've come across this in myself. It's like a new take on something. It, like my box, is, you know, I have, let's go back a good number of years doing one-on-one sessions with people, occasionally a phone reading. And my son-in-law said, why don't you go on Skype, like do video readings? Well, that was so outside my scope, and I had to, do I do that? And so I started that. That's what I mean by it's outside what you would normally think to do for yourself. Mm-hmm. So a box isn't about everything a box, it's about your box. And trust me, I've had my own boxes. I never thought of doing it that way. You know, so, you know, be open. Wait for the downloads, Wendy. Ask the universe and the downloads will come.
Isn't that the truth? You know, first off, I feel like I have to apologize for this ahead of time. But, you know, ever since we were talking about thinking outside the box, all I can think of is you got to step it up a notch and you got to think outside the parallelogram. You know, if we're going to really take it outside of the box, take an entire different shape. I don't know, but I had an image of slanted different sides on a box. It's very intriguing. So you all had to suffer through that with me because misery loves company. So I think on that wonderful note, we are getting towards the end of our evening.
It is. You know, Wendy is joining us next week. I think the week after, we're going to talk about CERN. A lot of stuff going around about that. We'll kind of try to pull it apart and talk about what's a theory and what's possible and what the science is and what's maybe really going on. And then after that, we have a new guest coming, and we'll leave that as a special surprise that we'll explain later. So we got an action-packed July and August coming up, Michael.
We do with that, don't we? We do with that. It's going to be a good time, so very much looking forward to it. We got a lot of, I think we get, 5 weeks in July? Yeah, about that. So you get five July's episodes, and it's going to be episodes, broadcast, semantics. But it's going to be really good. So, again, I want to just say again, as we kind of wrap up about tonight, please can't wait to have Wendy White join us next week, our card keeper. She has been tracking these patterns, and it's always interesting how they go from year to year and all that. And it's that energy that we can all kind of vibe in a year, you know, it's kind of just interesting how it plays out in the cards sometimes. So, you know, can't wait for it. Recommend everybody, you know, join us. Hopefully you join us live. We always love that chat. If you can't, we always appreciate when you catch up with us from our archives as well. But, you know, it is that time of the evening. And as we kind of wrap things up, Dr. Vicky, any last thoughts for us?
Well, first I want to thank Dr. Norman for joining us tonight. That was great. And don't let them push you around out there, people. Stay true to yourself.
Well, You can't say it any better than that. So again, thank you, Dr. Norman Wilson. Appreciate the wonderful, the discussion on the quarter star. Dr. Vicki, thank you. Couldn't do this without
you.
Thank you. And thank you, everybody that joins us and everything that you give to us. Can't wait to see our card keeper, Wendy White, next week. And until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.